I'm Alicia Hyatt, and I'm here with Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Welcome, Mickey.
Thanks a lot, Alicia. Always my pleasure.
Mickey, the resource sector is a tough place to be right now. You wrote a piece on your website in late March, with the headline, "It's Getting Better." Have you seen any further signs of a recovery since then?
Well, it did get better for the first 4 or 5 months out of the year. Then we came into the usual sell and may go away. That didn't happen. No one was selling, but then no one was buying. Generally, we have a summer doldrums when we'll use the venture index as a proxy when it will go down. That didn't really happen. The venture index kind of rolled around through the summer. It stayed above 1,000, approached the yearly high, didn't quite get there. Yearly high was 1,046 in March, didn't quite get there. But we were seeing what looked like a setup for a nice post-Labor Day rebound. Everybody comes back to work and we would be off and running. But we got scuttled by a strong U.S. dollar, and commodities have kind of really gone south. It's been a hard commodity sector-wide downturn, with one exception, which we'll talk about. But precious metals are off 10% or more. Oil is even down from a high of 106 in the late summer, down in 93 today, but as low as the $90 level a couple of days ago. Copper's given back all its gains that it had. You know, copper, as a review, had the correction in March of about a 10% correction. It fought its way back and was trading at that level of the low 320s again, and it's been knocked down another 20 cents or so in the last couple of weeks. So that can all simply be attributed to a strong U.S. dollar this morning at 85.7. I think that's a four-year high for the dollar.
So if we started to come out of the bear market, are we still in a bear market?
Oh, we're still in a bear market, and I fully expected and continue to expect the bear market to continue. What has surprised me is the downturn in commodities with all this geopolitical strife in the world. But it's a run to a safe haven U.S. dollar right now. If you look at other currencies, the Canadian dollar has been relatively flat against the U.S. dollar, but that's North America moving in lockstep. And the rest of the world currencies look at the Australian dollar, just continues to plummet. Euro correlates negatively with gold all the time, or with the U.S. dollar all the time. So it's at a low of, I don't know how long it's been down to 127. The Swede krona is down, so we see just the relative strength of the U.S. dollar precludes any sort of rally that we would have in the venture exchange. We're now approaching the low 900s, and we haven't seen these levels since the first of the year. So the venture exchange was up somewhere around 12% over the year. It's given back all those gains. I don't expect that to stop till we get some stability, until the U.S. dollar quits rising.
Okay, I want to talk about two commodities that you follow very closely, gold and uranium. First, what are your expectations for gold, given that the U.S. dollar has been strengthening, and also the fact that the safe haven trade in gold seems to be fading?
Well, yes, that's one thing that's happened is gold is not the safe haven of particular choice, at least in the Western world now, right now. Now, we continue to see significant gold buying in India and China, and central banks in not so always stable currency countries. For instance, Russia continues to buy gold. At the beginning of the year, I said I expected the gold price to test its low of 1,200. It looks like it might do that. But I expected it to end the year higher than it started. Started, if memory serves, about 1220. That's the level we're at right now. What we commonly see in the fall is what Frank Holmes calls the love trade. So you've got Indian festivals and Christmas coming. So that usually gives a little boost for gold up to about December 15th or so. And then we generally have some weakness in gold after that because all international payments are basically done in U.S. dollars. So everybody's cleaned up the books for the year. And so we see a strength in the dollar at that time, often to the detriment of gold. And that often becomes, that last couple of weeks in December becomes a good buying opportunity for gold.
Once we start to see less momentum for the U.S. dollar, is it possible that we could see more strength in gold?
Oh, I think so. You know, at some point U.S. dollar's got to quit rising, and I can't tell you what that is. Looks to me like it's overbought right now. If you would have told me at the beginning of September gold index or the dollar index was going to go to 85, I'd just been flabbergasted. Because it's hovered in that 80 range for so long. Once that stabilizes or comes off, you know, as all markets, the pendulum will swing too high, and U.S. dollar at some point is gonna correct. Then commodities will correct too, because if you look, the decrease in commodities over the last month has correlated very strongly with the rise in the U.S. dollar index. So in real terms, gold and silver, maybe not silver because it's taken a little higher hit, but gold and copper and oil, arguably the three tradable commodities that we really pay attention to in terms of the world's economy, they've been relatively flat in real terms. They haven't really lost any value. It's just U.S. dollars high.
So while there's been a weakness in most commodities, you mentioned one exception, and that exception is uranium. We've seen the spot price of uranium rise strongly from a low of around $28 a pound a few months ago to $36.50 today. So what is that? What is the price responding to?
Supply disruption, or even supply destruction. Disruption meaning mines are not producing enough for uranium, and destruction implying mines are shutting down or not being developed. So it once again, it's the pendulum that swung too far to the negative. A $28 spot price for uranium was not going to last very long. Number one, all the traders would come in and start buying up cheap uranium and then throw it back on the market when the price started to rise. There's been some geopolitical issues, Russians and Ukraine, and Russia is a big player in the uranium business. So that's had something to do with it. But I think it's just a realization that mines cannot produce uranium profitably at low prices, and supply comes off, and supply demand fundamentals demand that it goes up. You know, the real catalyst is still going to be when Japanese reactors restart. I don't know if that's going to happen this year. Probably in March we had that all the uranium stocks kind of front run ran what was looked on as compelling evidence that the spot price should rise. That didn't happen. Spot price went from $34 at around PDAC to $28 for most of the summer. A couple of months ago, that was broken, that base was broken, and it started to rise up 30% now in the last 2 months. But $36.50 is still too low uranium price for producers to come back on with supplies. So in March, I said I'd be happy with $40 uranium price by year end. I'll stick with that. I would be very pleased. And then we're just going to have to wait till real psychological boost to the market will be when we get even a couple of restarts in Japan. you know, there's great debate in the industry as to whether the Japanese have been selling inventories. There are compelling reasons economically to think that their utility companies have had to pay for this expensive LNG they replaced it with. But on the other hand, there's no direct evidence that that has happened. So regardless, nuclear power plants have to maintain a year minimum of secure supply, and we got 73 reactors being constructed worldwide, and Chinese are putting a couple have gone critical now, and so, you know, that's 1 million pounds of uranium every time a startup occurs to jump start a big reactor.
Okay, we'll leave it there, Mickey. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks a lot, Alicia.